It's that time for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's featured guest, Avi Gilbert from Elliott Wave Trader. Well, my featured guest today says that gold could blast higher by 25-fold and gold equities by 50-fold. Avi Gilbert, founder of ElliottWaveTrader.net live trading room member forum, which focuses on Elliott Wave. We're all familiar with that here at GoldSeek. Welcome, Avi.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Great to have you here. And your claim to some folks might seem a bit over the top. 25,000 is a factor of several fold above where we are, even above the 2011 peak. But maybe from an inflation adjusted level and monetary silliness we've seen, I guess is the most euphemistic way to put it around the world, this number makes some sense. Tell us more, please.
Well, actually, it's technically a 50-year projection where, you know, a lot of the people listening probably have to be thinking about leaving their gold and their miners to their children, or even grandchildren. But it's a 50-year projection, and it's using the same methodology that allowed us to identify the top within $6 of the top back in 2011. I remember when I published that, you know, once we hit 1950, you may want to cash in your gold because we could see a very sizable correction. I remember people were laughing about that as well, getting the same reaction when I'm saying, you know, I'm expecting the market to bottom out sometime over the next few months, maybe even as much as 6 months. And once that occurs, I'm looking for the resumption of a major multi-decade long-term bull market.
No, I'm on board with you. You know, we've had Jim Rogers here as well. He's watching for the same thing. There's still a lot of bullishness. It wouldn't hurt to see a washout to $800, $900, $1,000 an ounce. And that would set the stage technically, fundamentally even, for a good solid bull market. But you also have an interesting forecast for the equities. And our listeners here today, Avi, are big fans of the Gold Bug Index, our bread and butter. And many of our advertisers are in that camp as well. You're looking at a potentially meteoric rise here. This could really be something. What are some of the fundamental drivers that you see behind that?
I'm not a fundamentalist, shall we say. Now, unfortunately, fundamentals have led many people astray in this market for the last 4 years. We are purely based on sentiment and mathematics. That's really, like I said, it's what identified the top to us back in 2011 within $6 of the top. And before we even topped, we had the region we now find ourselves in as a primary target. As what I'm looking at over a very long-term period, we were looking for the HUI Gold Bugs Index to come down to the 100 region. Of course, you know, it could spike lower on overreactions, but, you know, we've almost come to our target now from a very long-term perspective as to where we're looking for a bottom. So we've actually started, the funny thing is, we just rolled out a miners service. We're giving our specific picks about miners, and a week from this past Friday, which actually hit the actual low we've seen so far in the GDX, for example, we actually started legging into some very long-term positions for specific miners, which we think may have bottomed already. Most of the miners have not. But we're looking at a number of them that we think, you know, they may have bottomed, but we're watching them very closely. So we're looking at this entire complex as it's time to start thinking about buying bottoms rather than shorting.
Well, that's certainly contrarian, I think, to the prevailing sentiment. Move on to the general equities markets. You keep a close eye on this sector as well. It's been a very challenging time since the plunge of about a month ago. Of course, the Fed, they didn't pull the trigger on higher rates as they'd been promising for quite some time. This gives some mixed signals. You know, on the one hand, that would seem to indicate, are they just trying to support the global economy, which is sluggish right here? Or do they really see difficult times ahead for the domestic economy, perhaps another recession in the future? So that's unnerved some investors. Give us an idea of what you're seeing in the charts.
When it comes to the Fed, I've been writing for a number of years that ultimately I believe the Fed will wind up being completely discredited. Their financial engineering is not going to be anywhere near as powerful as people ultimately believe. So that's something we put on the side. We really don't deal with that. The Fed is really not as much of a concern to us. But coming into 2015, we were actually quite bullish, especially in the Russell. We were riding the IWM, but as the market progressed through the spring, we started seeing signs that, you know, we're not going to get to the ultimate targets we wanted to see this year. So once the market and the IWM hit 129, we got out of our positions, which fortuitously, I think we got out within 40 cents or so of the actual high hit. So while the market was consolidating over the summer, we were in a wait-and-see mode, and we said once 2040 breaks, we're looking for a large correction. So far, the market has basically hit my minimal target for this long-term correction. I don't believe we're done. I think we may still be flopping around a bit for the next few weeks, but I still foresee the market still going higher than where we hit last week. I still think there's that potential, but I think it's probably going to wind up being a setup that's going to take us into the very low 1800s, but more likely we can even see a 17 handle.
For the most part, then, somewhat bearish here on the sector. Do you have any idea then whether or not you see a resumption of the bull market, technically speaking, once this pullback is over?
The answer is absolutely. I actually just put out a long-term update to my members this past weekend. And I don't believe this bull market is done by any stretch of the imagination yet. I still think that it's going to take us another month or two until this correction has run its course. I don't think, right now, the lower end of my target region for this correction is 1694 on the SPX. If we break 1694 in any significant way, or have a setup to break it more than what I'm seeing right now, then I'll become a lot more defensive. But as it stands right now, based on what I'm seeing, the next larger decline that I'm looking for seems to be going out to maybe Thanksgiving or so. I'm looking at that as a potential buying opportunity. I'm going to watch to see how we develop, because the how is more important but the how is what I'll be watching. And if it develops in the manner in which I'm looking for, I'm looking at it as a long-term buying opportunity. I still think the S&P 500 is going to be approaching 2,500.
You know, we've had on the show a number of guests recently. Martin Armstrong comes to mind, Arch Crawford, and some of these folks are convinced that there is a technical cycle, if you will, or let's just call it a rhythm, a harmonic, if you prefer, a wave that runs through the markets about every 7 years or so, referred to as the Shemitah Jubilee Year. You've expressed your own viewpoint and some on this. And interestingly, this cycle comes to a peak this year, 2015, right around this time. Give us an idea of whether or not you see that tied in with the increase in volatility in the equity sector.
I smile about it when I hear these type of analysis based upon Shemitah, and in Hebrew it's called the Yovel, in English it's called the Jubilee. I'm actually an Orthodox Jew, and you know, so this is more of a religious perspective than it is for a stock market perspective. I mean, if people go back and look at what, you know, Shemitah years, or even more importantly, Yovel years have meant to the market, you're not going to really see anything significant. It really is a religious perspective more than a societal and market perspective. So I don't believe that anything is happening right now is due because of the Shemitah or the Yovel. Personally, I just think the market hit its upside target. It's now in a correction, and it's just going to set up to continue higher. You know, that's my primary focus at the moment.
Avi, give me an idea, if you would please, what else you're watching right now. My guess is you have your eyes on several markets. You might be West Texas Intermediate crude. You might be looking at commodities. Give us an idea of anything else you'd like to share with the listeners as we wrap up.
I don't think that, like many people think, that oil has bottomed. I'm not so confident that oil has bottomed. In fact, I still see it that it can potentially go higher still, but I don't foresee that it has bottomed just yet. I think we're probably going to retest the prior lows, if not make lower lows. And then I think, just like in the metals, I think we'll then have a very long-term bottom in place.
You know, I see the same thing. Technically speaking, I like the idea of not trying to catch this knife as it falls. Why don't you tell our listeners, please, about all the interesting services you provide? You've got a great staff of people working with you. It sounds like you all are very close and comrades in arms. Give us an idea of what they'll find at your website, please.
Thank you so much. Actually, today is actually our four-year anniversary, which is actually quite interesting. But we have 10 analysts on our site. We cover world markets, U.S. equity markets, all the stocks on the U.S. markets. We cover a number of stocks on foreign markets. We have a mining stock portfolio. We have one gentleman that is solely focused just on mining stocks alone. We do short-term trading with mining stocks, of all things. A lot of people love doing this, the three times ETF trading on the miners. We have a gentleman that focuses solely on that, and he's up over 150% total return this year on that alone. We have a Forex service that covers all the major and minor pairs. We have somebody that handles options. We basically cover most of the world when it comes to markets with our 10 analysts. And we have thousands of people that are on our site. On a given day, you'll have at least 1,000 people in our trading room exchanging ideas, discussing trades.
Avi, what about folks who are more long-term oriented? Is there a section, a room, a chat area, a forum for folks who just don't have the time or inclination for intraday investing and trading and really just prefer to build a solid portfolio? Is there something like that in mind for them?
Absolutely. I mean, our stock analysis is for both short-term and very long-term perspectives, as well as our mining stock portfolio. Our mining stock portfolio is something we're looking at, 20, 30 years ahead of time.
That's what most of our investors here today have, that longer-term focus. So, Avi Gilbert, thanks for being here. We're going to look forward to having you back on GoldSeek.com Radio.
Thank you ever so much for having me.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.